we're on our own. It's just regular people like us. It's moms and dads, and we don't have money behind us or anybody. It's really just us. We sell t-shirts so we can have picnics and stuff. Like, that's really, it's that, like, homemade. But it works.
It's grassroots, and I'm proud of that. Very proud.
Yeah.
This is grassroots.
It is.
So, and we're going to continue to win with the grassroots.
Hi, you're listening to We Are Reopen Bucks. In this series, we sit down with some of the key players in the reopen movement and discuss their experiences navigating the pandemic. Today, I'm with Kimberly Gorman, who served as vice president of Bucks County Sports Association, the Reopen Bucks effort to provide a normal youth sports environment during abnormal times. Kim is also the founder of Kids First Neshaminy, and her husband own Gorman Chiropractic in Fairless Hills. Welcome, Kim. Thanks for chatting with me.
Thanks for having me, Josh.
So I have to set up before we can even get to BCSA and all of the crazy stuff we did with that. How you got there, I want to say you started Kids First Neshaminy like summer of 2020. Is that correct?
Yes.
So it was primarily a schools thing that kind of brought you into doing all the wild stuff you do today, being involved with all this.
Yes, absolutely. I came upon a petition that I saw on Facebook. And I reached out to find out how I could do it for Neshaminy. And basically the rest is history. Then I just became entangled with all of our wonderful people that have done what we've done over the past.
Interesting. This is a petition, I presume, to say, like, all right, let's get all the kids back into school normalcy, that type of thing.
It was the reopen part of it, right? It's how we all started. And, of course, it moved into many other things. But it started out just to get the schools open so we could get them back.
How did that turn into... You mentioned, you know, following up on the petition. How did that turn into starting the group, Kids First Neshaminy?
Well, I think because everybody was starting groups for that purpose, so I wanted to round up anybody I could. So it seemed as if that was kind of the trendy thing to do, was everybody had a reopen school
each
group.
Each district, yeah.
Every district. And so basically I just kind of jumped on board to start ours.
So from there, I remember you pretty much were very prominent in all of the school's conversations and various school activities that happened from then on. I'll kind of quickly flash forward to the last part of 2020, which is in November. Governor Wolf, Secretary Levine, they decide, okay, we're going to update this mask order they'd had in place for several months at that point to include children while they actively play sports. We at the time were like, yeah, this ain't going to happen. I actually remember going back to that time frame. I remember the immediate ramification was a whole bunch of leagues. Like at the time it was basketball. Mm-hmm. Basketball was just starting up.
Yep.
So at the time, a bunch of basketball leagues were like, okay, we're going to wait this out. We're going to like wait and try to start our season in January or February, or maybe we'll cancel. And I think a bunch of them did. So there we are, a whole bunch of us, you, me, Jamie Walker, people like that. We're like, all right, we're going to just go ahead and make something because there's nothing out there right now. Do you have any recollection of the first conversations that I might have had with you on that? Did you think I was crazy for thinking we should do this?
Well, I mean, I know that aside from the reason that everybody was waiting, I know part of that reason also was that the gyms were used as cafeterias. In my particular case, for Langhorne, we use Maple Point Middle School. They wouldn't be able to use the gyms because the gyms were set up as cafeterias because the kids had to eat lunch in desks and not at tables. So that was the other part of it. So I do remember us just because, you know, we always talked in the chat about all the things we were going to create, right? We were going to have our own bar, our own restaurant, our own everything. We were going to have our own community. We were just like, let's just go off the grid. So I don't remember exactly how, but I do remember it just being like a thought, like, why don't we just start our own league? And we're like, okay, let's do that. And we kind of literally started from nothing and, you know, just, I guess, put our heads together. We had enough people that had experience in the sports world to figure out how to make that happen. And the hardest thing, I think, was finding a place. That was our biggest thing because nobody wanted to let anybody in anywhere that was big enough. So, but yeah, I just remember it was just probably just a random comment that turned into, well, hey, wait a minute. You know, we want our kids to play.
Yeah. Kind of the birth of an idea and then it takes wings and it becomes a whole crazy thing.
Right? Which is insane. But
and
it was...
I remember early on feeling like I was majorly out of my element because like as a kid, I played a bunch of different sports, but my children were very young at the time. My oldest was 4. They hadn't been involved really in sports. So I had no idea like how it's even supposed to work. How do you structure this? So I feel like I really needed to rely very heavily on parents who not only had this experience, but knew what to do, could take initiative and all this stuff. So it really kind of came together pretty well, I would say.
I think it did. Yeah. I mean, luckily with Reopen itself, I mean, we have great people. So people jumped in as soon as they, it was, you know, it wasn't that hard to get coaches. I can tell you that in every league that I am involved in, it never starts because they're always looking for coaches. Never enough. So we actually were very fortunate and we were able to really get a lot of great people to jump in and coach. It didn't take as long as it normally does. We were ready to go
by day one. Yeah. And I particularly remember one moment on day one, the first day that we ever had all the kids come, and it was supposed to be like a kind of tryout for the older kids. So we're going to place them on teams by doing these tryout things to get the teams even. And, you know, by that point, we had coaches for each of the teams. So they had their clipboards. They were kind of talking it all out, trying to make it fair. And the younger kids were going to do like the last hour of the day. This is like 7 and 8 year olds, I want to say, or maybe 6 and 7 year olds. Yeah. And I remember being beside myself with anxiety. These are a bunch of 6 year olds, like 80, 90 were signed up.
Oh my God, there's so many.
And we were going to have them all on the court at the same time doing like circuits and stuff because they weren't going to play games. They were going to do training and stuff like that. And I'm like, how are this many kids going to be corralled and do what they're supposed to do? And I mean, that's a moment that takes some leadership over a bunch of kids. And I'll never forget that I was busy doing something when the prior practice, which was older kids, had just ended. And I kind of turn around and I'm anxiety ridden because I know the little kids are supposed to start. We need to get on it. And I look over and I see, I don't know why I got fixated on, it was Joe Gerlach, who was doing this, you know, warm up. Kids
amazing.
Move this way, kids move that. It was like, my jaw hit the floor.
He definitely controlled that
he
room.
Controlled every single kid on the court.
He did.
And they were loving it. They were beside themselves. And it was literally like 80 kids doing this, no masks, all with a basketball. It just looked like something you might have seen in 2019.
Yep, exactly. And it looked like he was very prepared. But probably not. He probably just went out and he's a natural.
Yeah.
He was great.
A good example of the type of Reopen Bucks person who just fits right at the time they're needed in the story. I mean, I can't imagine without folks like him. And there were so many great coaches that made it all possible, including your husband, coach, correct?
Yes, he did.
So what I'm curious, what was that like? Did you pull his leg a little bit to make it happen?
Well, it's funny because originally he likes to be the assistant only because of the time constraints, and he doesn't like to be because of being here at the office. He doesn't want to get stuck not being there. So he always likes to be the assistant. He loves coaching, but he likes to be the assistant so he doesn't have that pressure.
Yeah, respect.
But who we wanted to coach with ended up not coaching. So he ended up being the coach. So so it was stressful for him just as far as time. But he does love to coach. He's not coaching currently. He didn't coach this past season. And it's like, he's excited about not, but then he sits there and is like, I really want to coach. So for him, it was great. I mean, he's obviously fully on board with all of what we think too, and you know, love to see the kids get to actually play.
Yeah.
So.
And got to coach your kid. I mean, so how was that from the perspective of, you do have two boys who played in two of the different age groups for basketball. They go on to play soccer as well. When we did soccer, what was that experience like just as a parent? I mean, having a kid that can now access the league that you created and put together.
Well, and they always thought they thought I was so important. So it was always fun. It's like, well, you started it. You can do this or I can do that. Like they thought they could have free reign of whatever it is that they wanted. But it was amazing. I mean, like I said, from that first get go around of what are we doing to seeing it actually come to fruition was like, it was every week. It was like, we did this. And these kids are having a blast. They're breathing normally. You know, it was great. I mean, I love watching my kids play. I'm known to be a little bit neurotic watching my kids play. It's great. And as your kids get older, and if they do play, it's a totally different experience that you can never imagine from when they were really little and it was just fun to now it's competitive.
It gets intense,
and now I'm more nervous than they are when they have a game. So to watch them be able to play and not be shut out was great. because there was absolutely no way I was going to let them play with a mask.
That was something that always blew me away, was that league was competitive. I mean, the kids were into it.
And I didn't think it was going to be that way. I'm like, it's all right. It's just going to be fun. You know, it's not going to be, but it got,
And we had, I mean, there was a playoff game that a kid won like a walk-off three-pointer as time expired. Everyone in the whole knack was screaming.
That was our game, I think. That was Anthony's team that won, in the last buzzer beater.
Yeah.
It was amazing. Yeah, it was a great experience. Met so many amazing people who were sad that it had to end. I'm still friends with people from that. Actually, just hung out with one of them, Christy, today. Christy Prawl's on AJ's soccer team now. Bobby is. So, like, a lot of those people have become friends, and it was great. It was an amazing experience. So
yeah, I just speaking from the Reopen Bucks perspective, that wound up, it was something we wanted to do initially for people in Reopen Bucks. It actually brought way more people into Reopen Bucks. And I mean, there's so many stories of the people who, once they found this, were like, oh, thank God. Like, I thought my kid wasn't going to be able to do anything.
Yeah.
And now they have access to not just something, but something that's completely normal. Yeah. I love this. It's a great environment. And so a lot of those people wound up later becoming, in some capacity, really involved in Reopen Bucks and other things that happened. So it was almost like a big recruiting.
It was more than just a basketball or sports league.
Yeah. So walk me through, you alluded to, you know, your kids being like, hey, mom, you know, you run the league. Can we change the rule to this and that? But just to kind of set the stage for everyone on how it worked, we had a board of directors. I mean, this was legit.
It was legit.
We were trying to do the right way. So you were vice president. You know, we had Don on the treasurer, Jamie, myself, et cetera. The background on the work that went into it. I mean, I want to give you a lot of credit. And all of us, I mean, it's very difficult to pull all of this stuff off. And I give a lot of credit to people out there who just run these youth leagues, the people who do
it.
It's
a lot of work.
It's a lot of work, a lot of little logistics that have to be figured out to put on a production like that. And my thing was, I wanted it to be like of quality. I didn't want it to feel like it's a pickup game of basketball.
Right.
It needed to feel like a legit league that people could enjoy, whatever. I feel like we got there.
I think we definitely got there. Definitely got there. I mean, we had serious refs. We had rules. We had, I mean, yeah.
Oh, that was a whole other thing that you were clutch on, is finding the refs. I want to say they were from here. Like,
they were. Well, they're from Langhorne. One of the guys is from Langhorne. So one of our past employees, his cousin was Joe Kirby, who was the head ref.
Joe.
And he still refs. He refs in Langhorne. And that's how I got them from Langhorne.
Yeah.
Because that's where we used to play before they made us put masks on. So I just took the refs.
There you
so
go.
He managed to, you know, round them up. And it was great. We had great refs that were legit.
They were
refs.
So fantastic.
They were.
And that was the one, I don't want to say negative, but it was like a moment in Bucks County Sports Association when one of the refs didn't understand what we were going for. He showed up. He was a little on the older side and wanted to wear his mask.
Yep.
And we, of course, had the policy. This was the whole dang point of the whole
thing.
Right,
right.
It's not just optional.
Right.
It's prohibited.
Exactly.
We want this to look normal and feel normal. That includes refs, coaches, everybody. So we had to gently say, like, look, if you're not comfortable taking off the mask, we'll pay you because you came out. But go ahead and go. And he wound up doing it. And the other guy, after he left, the other guy just ref the game solo.
Yeah.
And he was awesome. So I feel like the whole reffing thing was amazing and how it worked out. It added
it
a lot of legitimacy to it.
Yeah.
And they were great.
It definitely did. They were great. They were.
So after basketball, I remember we had a bunch of conversations about what to do next. Mm-hmm. And there was always big thoughts, and we were planning what's next.
We had lists. We were going to do everything. We were going to do softball.
Right.
We talked about volleyball.
Yeah, flag football.
Football.
Much everything was discussed.
Yeah, and soccer, of course.
And something that I feel like really pushed our decisions as we approached the end of the basketball season and we're looking at like spring sports, Bucks County Health Department released guidance during our basketball season that said, okay, we know what the state is doing. No other states are doing this. This is kind of crazy. We're not going to require sports leagues to have their kids wear masks while they play. So that was official Bucks County Health Department guidance that said kids don't have to wear it anymore while they play. And I want to say that came in like late February.
Right.
So it was right while we were in the end of the basketball season.
I can't help but feel like that was us.
Mm, yeah.
Like we did that.
We did. We took a lot of people away from a lot of sports, and I think they were worried.
I wonder how much of it was like they just got sick of, like the health department got sick of getting all the calls complaining about,
right.
Hey, they're letting kids play basketball.
Yeah.
You have to go and arrest them.
Yeah, right. We did get a lot of that, didn't we? Not
so
a
did
lot,
you ever have any personal, I'm curious because like you guys were a sponsor as well.
Yep.
So Gorman Chiropractic,
mm-hmm.
business owners, you sponsored the league, you coached, you were on the board. I mean, super heavy. And your kids
right.
were like leaders
right.
and kind of captains on their teams. Did you receive heat from people and people trying to come after you?
I didn't notice much at all. I mean, there were a few. I do remember when the picture was in the paper when Anthony's team won the championship, mm-hmm. that there was comments on was because he went to Neshaminy, but there was definitely a comment like, well, now you know who you shouldn't have your kids play with. I remember that comment when they saw them in their championship photo because they were so dangerous, yeah. I guess. No one that I'm aware of directly reached out to us and said anything. And I know there was some of that going around. Doesn't mean that people may have stopped coming. Who knows? We lost a few people here and there because of all the, in general, mask stuff. But I didn't have anything. I didn't have any attacks that I'm aware of, at least not obvious ones, because of that. So, I mean, there definitely were comments. Someone did say from the wonderful group, our alternate ego group, mm-hmm. That I know the person who started it because she knows me. So she thought I started it, the whole thing. I'm like, well, I'll take that.
Yep.
That's fine. If you want to think I am the one who started the whole thing, then I'm proud to pretend that I am. But that, yeah, I didn't really have much that I'm aware of. So.
And you guys were, again, in terms of the business, by that point, like this is spring of 2021, were you, how were you running the business? Like, what was Gorman Chiropractic like?
So fortunately for us, we were able to stay open. No one ever told us that we had to close.
It's essential, right?
They considered us essential. And the reason was kind of like the backdoor reason was because they didn't want the hospitals overwhelmed. So they thought, well, if people have back pain, then they should just go to a chiropractor instead of trying to go into the emergency room. So it was their motive, but it worked for us. And in turn, that really turned a lot of people, this whole thing turned a lot of people into more alternative medicine because they're fed up with the way that was all run.
Yeah.
So it's all worked out in our favor. I mean, it was a rough road, definitely a rough road. I mean, we were, again, able to stay open, but we had to lay off people. So, you know, I worked pretty much 24 hours a day, it seemed like, because we didn't know what was going to happen. So we couldn't take the chance of trying to pay everybody and not be busy. I mean, we did lose probably 50% of our business at the time. So we were running on very low capacity, but we were able to stay open. So it was, you know, that part was great. We, you know, we toyed around. I mean, we were always, my husband's always worried someone was going to come in and see if, look to see if we're wearing masks and if we're doing all this stuff. And no one ever did. No one really cared. I don't think they weren't really worried about us as much as they were the hair salons and all the other,
which is hilarious,
right? Yeah. Crazy. We're the medical practice, but nobody bothered us. And we just tried the whole time, like we've always prided ourselves on making everybody feel comfortable where they are. And the same thing worked for this. We were like, in the beginning, we didn't know what was going on. So, you know, we pulled out the masks and we were health, you know, we had to wear masks. And
well, I'm sure you have kind of like an appointment based with patients that you know very well.
Yep.
Look, if they come in and they ask people, you know, you have the staff put on a mask. Other
right.
people want the other way. You can kind of.
And that's basically how we kind of did it in the like we started wearing them in the beginning. Us. We didn't never had forced. I never put a sign outside. I was not going to put a sign that says wear a mask. Or,
well, that's awesome.
Yeah.
That's really awesome.
There was no way I was going to do that. So we just said, you know, if I put a sign up that said there are people that have medical conditions and if they're not wearing a mask, it's not your, you know, basically you can't ask them. It's none of your business, and in a very nice way, however I worded it. I stole it from the Amish market. but I worded it that way because, and we only had maybe one confrontation, I would say, of a patient asking another patient why they didn't have a mask on. And then that's when I put the sign up after that because I was like, it's not appropriate for you to ask another person that anyway. If you have a problem with that, you can come see management and we can explain. But, you know, people do have conditions where they can't wear a mask. Period. End of story. And it did squash everything. No one ever really said anything. There were people that complained and left because of it. There were a couple of patients that were new that came in and were just like, how come how come everybody's not wearing a mask? Like, and, you know, we had to meet people where they are. If someone's not comfortable, it's their choice. That's how we ran it. And, you know, we've gained way more than we've lost. Hmm. You know, definitely that, lost a few, but.
I wanted to ask about that just in general. So, like, the chiropractic industry, I feel like, is overwhelmingly team reality, just because it is. There's an alternative medicine aspect to it. So when you take something like COVID, where the whole mainstream healthcare system is going hard one direction, really hard one direction, I feel like, you know, like I said, the industry as a whole in chiropractic, you had a lot of normalcy. So what was that like from your guys' perspective? Did you have competitors who were like all masked up in their chiropractic offices?
There's definitely another side of some. There are some that are definitely not on the same page. And we wonder what happened to them. Like I know my husband has reached out to colleagues of his and has written them like long emails going, what are you doing? Like, we're supposed to be promoting natural health care. We're supposed to be promoting, you know, your body can heal itself and no drugs, no surgery. And yet there are several chiropractors that we know that even have gotten vaccinated. And we're just and actually promoting it. Like, that's the other part of it. We're like, look, if that's your choice, that's great. But how can you sit back and say that knowing what we're supposed to be about? Like, how can you promote it or advertise it or, you know, tell people this is a great idea, you should do it, when that's not at all what you have
ever
done.
They can get paid. A chiropractic's office can get paid for distributing shots?
No. They're
just promoting it.
Share that they're doing their part. Just like we hear all the time. You know, I'm doing it for my patients. I've seen it. That's what they would post. I'm doing it for my patients.
Okay. So you did have people kind of all over the spectrum.
And... yeah. The majority, I will say, is not. But there are a good amount that I think just lost their way. I don't think they were ever like that. I think everything just got to them, and it's kind of sad, but it is what it is.
Yeah. So you mentioned that you were essential. So you were open the whole time. So if you go back to the beginning and look at all the policies you guys had around that stuff specifically, would you change anything, or you think you took the right path?
I definitely think we took the right path. I mean, I know, like I said, in the beginning, we were not sure what was going on either. So, you know, he was very big on everybody has to have a mask on their person somewhere. If a patient asked us to put it on, we would put it on. And we did that for a while, a very long while, until I would say even maybe like 6 months ago, there would be like two patients that would request it. And it, only if you're working with them. Like, and I would just not work with them. Be like, I'll just go in my room. But
well, it's worth pointing out too that it is a situation where you are really up close and personal in that with the patient for a good amount of time.
Right. But our goal always was to educate. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes what would be great is a new patient would come in with a mask. They would go in the room and I would be waiting for them to come out and I'd hear the paper rip and they come out without one. And I'd be like, he taught them. He showed them, he taught them, he explained to them. This is what's going on. And some people just put it on because they thought they had to. Some people didn't know. Yeah. There's many time where I would say, you know, you don't need that. They're like, I don't. So it was a lot about educating, which is what we're really big on anyway. So, you know, and just, again, meeting them where they are. Why are you wearing it? What is your reason for wearing it? Do you really believe that that's helping you? Or are you just doing it because you think you have to? So we never really, we don't push anyone away for that. There's still people that come in that wear them. I would say, you know, I can count on one hand, maybe how many there are.
Well, it seems like nowadays it should be different because there's an understanding that if you want to wear one, wear an N95 or KN95. Right. Wear something that will protect you.
Right.
So if people are coming in with that, then it's a whole different situation where we're not playing the stupid, my mask protects you, your mask protects me game.
Yeah. That one always used to drive me crazy. Yeah. So, and that's where I would get to a point too, where I would just, cause he would tell me in the beginning, you need to put one on. And I was like, I don't want to put one on. So then I would ask the patient, do you want me to put my mask on? And most often they would say no. Hmm. I've had like one that would say yes. I'm like, I'll ask and I'll do it if they ask me, if that's what they want. But most of them were like, no, I have mine. I'm like, that's exactly right.
Love it. Yeah.
Perfect.
How it should be.
Right. You understand. So
awesome. So I had asked in there, you know, about
potentially any regrets, or would you do anything different relative to the business that you guys run? I'm curious to kind of try to set up the same question for the league that we formed, and the fact that I want to center this question around your boys and their experience. So you put in, just like everyone else on the board, so much time to make this happen. I mean, it was a really, really big lift, and I'm super proud. I hope you're proud of what we did. But when you look at the outcome of, you know, the experience for them in what you made, do you think it, you know, do you think they could have gone and played in a mask up league and it would have been fine? I mean,
no. So not at all. They, I mean, of the two, they definitely have different personalities. But they never ever enjoyed a mask. Never. I mean, AJ, I couldn't even get him to go back to school at all with the masks on because he really didn't want to do it. So they would have never, they wouldn't have played. They, I don't know that it's like I put it on them. I mean, obviously we do put a little bit onto our kids when they listen to us all the time, but you know, there's, he wouldn't have worn it. They wouldn't have been able to do it. They wouldn't have done it on their own. I don't think that that would have ever worked. And even this year, when we started, I was going to go back to Langhorne, and when I called or I emailed because I saw the policy said something about masks, and I was like, you know, it was wear them in when you're coming in and leaving, and that spectators had to wear them. And
it's the
most
science.
Yes, right? It's the most absurd thing. But when they're playing on top of each other, you don't have to. But when you're walking out with your family, you have to. And I was like, I'm not doing it. So I emailed and asked, like, is this real? and I got a kind of a not very nice response. If it doesn't work for you, then maybe you should look elsewhere. And I was very surprised by that because we coached, we sponsored, I ran the snack stand there. Like, I used to carry the stuff back and forth. Like, I was very involved there. And I was like, well, you just lost a whole bunch of stuff. And I get that it wasn't, you know, his rule. But I had even said, like, we have exemptions and we're in school without
That's
it. It doesn't
thing,
make
though.
Sense.
It's never been, to me, it's never been about the rule. Like, I can understand businesses and organizations having to do what they have to do, but it's in the way you treat people.
Exactly.
So many people just took it to that point where, like, what's that person thinking to respond to you like that? That makes
sense. And I knew very well. I'm like, well, I don't know why he'd be rude.
Right.
You know, he could have just said, oh, this is all, I don't have a choice. And I might have worked with him a little bit. But so we didn't sign up. We went to Middletown instead. and then they have since taken them off. But even my kids were like, I ain't doing that. I'm like, it comes down to principle at this point. Mm. Like, I am not going to sit there and watch my kid play with a mask on when I haven't worn one anywhere else for the last, you know, forever. And even in schools, it was, we had exemptions at the time. So it wasn't optional completely yet, but it didn't make any sense to me that why they were doing that. So it hasn't completely gone away.
Yeah.
So, and yeah.
Here's a good way to wrap up. Do you feel like with the way things are trending now, and, you know, we're going to see what happens this fall when cases go up and people start getting a little crazy again, do you think there's ever going to come a time when we need to bring this league back? Because, I mean, you know we will if it's needed. That ain't a question, but do you think we'll need to?
It's so crazy. You know, I really like to think that that wouldn't have to happen again. But, you know, I'm not that naive. I can see where it's going. I can see what's happening. I love the fact that we know we can. I love the fact that we know we have the NAC support as well if we needed to. Mm. We know we have a place. We know we can get people. People always are still asking. They still wish that it would.
I know.
Right.
The Facebook page is getting hit up all the time. Mm-hmm. It's crazy.
It's crazy. Like, they really want it to come back. So, you know, I mean, I honestly don't want to go back there. I don't want to go back there because it's not going to be a, I don't think it's, I think it's only going to be way worse if it went back that
way.
And
it implies if we go back there, like, as a society, then so much else is
so
just
much.
Really offline.
Oh, it's going to be, it would be bad. So I like to say, I hope not, but I don't doubt it. And at least we know what we're doing.
Right. We've done it before.
We can do it again.
I still have the huge
scoreboard,
bin with all,
the, bin and
all
everything.
The stuff. We haven't auctioned it off yet.
I have my soccer net out front. I can just take it down and bring it. Yeah. So we can.
We're ready to go.
We're ready to go.
But yeah, I do look back on it just so incredibly fondly and can't say thank you enough to you, to the other board members, all the coaches, the volunteers. It was such a big, it's a really good representation of the type of thing Reopen Bucks was able to accomplish by being a big community and just deciding, you know what, we're not going to stand for this. We're going to do our own thing. Yep. And we did it. It was awesome.
Yeah, it was awesome. It was awesome. I tell people about it all the time. It's great.
Yeah. Awesome. All right. Well, covered a lot. Thanks for chatting. This has been fantastic.
Thank you very much for having me. It was awesome.
All right. Yep. Talk to you later.
Okay.